This is the RLM News Show on RealLibertyMedia.com every Monday through Friday with your host, Grimnir. Oh, yeah, folks, welcome, welcome, welcome. Brand new week here. It's Monday, June 23rd, 2014. We are live this morning on Castro.fm on the Real Liberty Media channel, on Spreaker.com on the World Truth channel, on Justin TV, on Eat Justice Channel, on WorldTruth.org, World Truth Radio, and of course, live right here on RealLibertyMedia.com. This is the place you want to be. This is the chat room to be in. This is where you get to talk to all the great folks and catch the links I provide for the stories I cover throughout the show, and just be part of the program on this wonderful Monday. So howdy to you folks out there on Caster, on Spreaker, on Justin TV and WorldTruth.org. I don't see who's checking in. Tao and Larry and, oh, DJ Doom, who just got wrapped up his little program there. His program playing some good stuff over there. Well, apparently good stuff. World Truth and other folks that are over there listening in from WorldTruth.org. Which, by the way, if you're not a member of WorldTruth.org, get on over there, sign on up. Say hello, friend me. Yes, Grimnir Freeman on theworldtruth.org. And then come on over here to the reallibertymedia.com site and jump on into the chat and you can talk to the great folks that are here. We got Transam, we got Donzie, IB Donzie, we got Miss Tao and Larry and Carolyn and the Pooches. We got Grammy at work and Major Disaster. Oh yeah, Cowboy Tech checked in, he's here. And on time, amazing. Dr. Gloom is here with us. Who am I missing here? Juana Taco and Cowboy Tech. Did I mention Cowboy Tech? Anyway, hey girl, I saw her around this morning. Looks like Darth Rooms had a little problem with his connection there. Bounce on out. And same with Mr. Meister Brow. So anyway, come on over. Jump on into the chat. You'll be glad you did. We'll be glad you did. Everybody will be glad you did. Oh, boy, let's take a quick look at the economic data for today. It's an interesting world, the economics world, you know. I have to keep a focus on it because that is the key source of your freedom, your liberty. The breaking free of enslavement can only be done by understanding the world of economics. The global economic scumbaggery. All right, gold is up, and it's kind of got a, like a little spike at the very end here. This little move upward. Gold at up $3.70 per troy ounce right now at $1,318.40 per troy ounce. Silver is up 6 pennies, $20.94 right now. Copper is up 2.4 cents per pound at $3.12.06 per pound. Bitcoin taking a little hit, sliding on down 1.78% to $587.21 per Bitcoin this morning. Your Federal Reserve debt note losing a little ground on the USDX, down 0.07 to 80.30. Volatility trying to move up. It opened around 10.8. It's now sitting right around 11.2. On your national average for a gallon of unleaded regular gasoline today, $3.683 per gallon. So that is down, no, that's up a tenth of a penny from yesterday. Sorry, I was going across rather than down. Either way, it's been moving on up. A week ago, it was at 366.2, so a little over 2.1 cents up in the week. On your phony stock markets this morning, the disconnected from all reality, robotically traded, high-frequency traded stock markets. Dow Jones is down a little bit. You know, these numbers, I give them to you, but, you know, they're really, no, there is no connection to reality here. Anyway, the Dow Jones is down 29 points right now at 16,918. The NASDAQ is flat on the day at 43.68. The S&P 500 is off 2 points to 1962. Your global Dow is down 3 points to 2613. And your WTI light sweet crude oil, 42-gallon barrel, down 72 cents on the day. I guess everything is wonderful there out there in the world. So $106.09 a barrel for your WTI crude. The Brent crude sitting at $114.15 right now. So, down is up. War is peace, freedom is slavery, and apparently declining home sales mean the highest home sales in a long time. Heh! Despite year-over-year existing home sales dropping 7 months in a row, realtors declare sales decline is over. Yes. Existing home sales beat expectations by the most in 11 months at 4.89 million annualized. The headline print is being greeted with exuberance as the National Association of Realtor Liar Scumbags declares the sale decline is over. However, this is the seventh month in a row of year-over-year declines, and the gains are anything but broad-based, with the Midwest and the South being the biggest driver as the West stagnates. The percent share of first-time buyers continued to underperform, representing less than one-third of all buyers at 27% in May, down from 29% in April. Not exactly the organic, non-flip debt house wealth building transmission mechanism the Fed is hoping to build the United States recovery, non-existent, not going to happen recovery on. Many potential buyers were left on the sidelines. You think? I wonder why that is. Now, I was looking at my my monthly food bill. I generally go to the grocery store on a monthly basis. And if you want to look at it that way, or just on a weekly basis, going from a weekly number of $50 a week to buy groceries, it now costs me $70 a week to buy groceries. So that's a 40% increase in the price of food alone. Of course, gasoline is up. Of course, utilities are up. Of course, everything else is up. So, who's out there buying houses with money that left their pockets to just happen to live on? Anyway, there's that. 40%. I don't know how that compares for you. I just know that buying the exact same product week after week, month after month, is now costing me 40% more. But hooray, I'm a silver bug, so maybe I'm in good shape. I don't know. The perfect storm. Will silver and gold short squeeze collapse the bond market? Oh, you poor bonds. Not James. In October 2013, Jack Mullen wrote an article titled "Gold Market Sunk to Keep Bond Market Afloat." In this article, he made the argument that gold and especially silver prices were being violently manipulated to the downside and held below free market dollar prices in order to sustain and prolong the collapse of the United States bond market. The U.S. bond market, in his estimation, and I tend to agree, is the largest bubble in terms of nominal dollar value and the most defended Ponzi scheme in terms of wealth squandered to sustain prices in recorded history. In recent days, there has been much excitement, exuberance in the gold and silver markets regarding a possible, probable, we're looking at it, a short squeeze in progress, dramatically raising the paper market silver and gold prices, the ETF prices. The price of silver has increased by $2 since June 1st, representing more than a 10% increase in the price of silver in 20 days. The same situation appears in gold, with gold rising roughly $70 an ounce since June 1st, translating into nearly 6% increase in price versus the Federal Reserve debt note, of course. The price of silver is the most defended asset price on the earth, with as much as $5 trillion of silver-related derivatives being created to defend and maintain an unnatural and absurdly low price for silver. The price of silver must be defended to the downside and maintained at the lowest possible price so that the United States bond bubble can remain artificially inflated. The nearly $37 trillion United States bond market is 29% bonds, treasury bonds, of which 60% are 10-year less notes. Lots of 2-year and 5-year out there. The treasury market is the lifeblood of the United States financial Ponzi scheme, the primary source of cash used to make payments on debts and continue to fund the ever-increasing government spending. The remaining bulk of the $37 trillion is mortgage and corporate bonds, representing the financial wealth of the entire United States fake GDP. Rapidly rising interest payments will cripple the federal government, private corporate bond issuers, and mortgage bond issuers. The total bond market has risen from $2.54 trillion in 1980 to $37.46 trillion this year, a 1,400% increase in 34 years. And that's without even adjusting for inflation, with 75% of that total falling on government, corporate, and mortgage bond issuers. Silver, gold, and oil. Oh, my! As can be seen in this chart that's here that I'll give you a link to in a minute. The 10-year yield has risen 24 basis points since June 1st, with yields now at 2.64%, up from just under 2.4% on June 1st, representing a 10% increase in yield. During the same period, silver increased 10%, and gold just under 5%. Or 6, depending on, I guess, where you're going to look at. Anyway, the critical issue for debt-based currency, Federal Reserve debt notes, is not the total amount of debt in the system, but the size of the interest payments. Debt-based currency scams become unstable when total debt crosses the Rubicon, where the interest payments on debt already created significantly affect future interest payments as previous payments are borrowed into existence, which is, my friends, the current situation for those managing interest rates in an attempt to forestall reality and maintain the bond market Ponzi scheme. I get a kick out of this stuff. To me, it's this is just like pure, solid gold comedy. What they're trying to do out there. And I know it's not really that funny because it definitely affects your life. but still, I do find it a solid gold comedy. Interesting article here on a website called opinionmaker.org. Buying up the planet. Now, in this article, they go through and they talk about various markets around the world that were robust and are now pretty much defunct. And I don't have the link to the other article that I saw, but it comes down to this, on this. A lot of what China was working on and building has fallen by the wayside as their economy is collapsing as much as the United States economy, the European economy, the Indian economy, the Canadian economy, whatever. Pick a country, and you'll see it collapsing. So now you've got some of these these centralized banking bankers, the cartel members, out there snatching up real property with money that was handed to them, stolen from you. And whether you say, well, they didn't take any of our money to do that. The Fed just created a bunch of new money. That didn't take anything from me. Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Every time the Fed creates new money, your money in your pocket, in your bank account, wherever it happens to be, is worth less. The value of everything that is priced in dollars is worth less. They're stealing directly from you, and you don't even see it. So they're talking about it's an interesting post. Like I said, there's another article out there, and I don't know if I have the link or not, but if I do, I'll put it into the post show blog. But you can look it up. Goldman Sachs buying up China, a lot of the Chinese real hard physical assets at this point in time. Interesting that China would allow those to actually be sold off, but I guess the PBOC is really no better than the Federal Reserve. The PBOC, People's Bank of China, as far as that goes, you know, whatever central bank arm you want to look at, they're all pretty much in the same scam, and a lot of them are really hurting. People are brainwashed to think change is bad, says Tao, and yes, you're right, they are brainwashed to think that. But here's a change they're trying to shove down your throat, or in the UK, they're trying to shove down the UK's throat, which, of course, is kind of a testing ground for how it's going to go here in the wonderful US of A. A shopping street in Manchester has banned cash. No more cash. As part of an experiment to see if Brits will accept a cashless society, while all London buses will stop accepting cash payments from the next month onwards. The purpose behind the experiment, which will take place in Charlton, South Manchester, is to test customers and business reaction to the idea, and is being overseen by a credit card processing company who gets their little piece out of every transaction. Oh, no more cash, all plastic, all digital. That's right, and we get a chunk. If you use cash, ain't nobody getting a chunk. That's right, it's you paying directly to them. They don't like that. They want their piece. Multipass. Anyway, according to the Manchester Evening News, the experiment is being conducted with the expectation that physical currency will disappear inside 20 years. Meanwhile, London, the city's network of buses, will stop accepting cash payments from July 6th on, with customers needing to use an Oyster card, prepaid ticket, or contactless payment cards in order to travel. Yeah, they want to eliminate cash. And it's not really necessarily a bad idea, since the cash is under their monopolized control anyway. It's just the way they want to eliminate it is kind of the problem. Now, if the new cashless society was Shibe-based, I'd be in favor of it. And I am in favor of a Shibe-based cashless society. And you're going, what the hell does that mean? What's a Shibe? A Shibe, a Shiba Inu, and fans of the Shiba Inu coin currency, cryptocurrency known as Dogecoin, I'd be all in favor of that. I'm a fan. And this article, I like the article because it does give some good news information here over on CryptoCoins.com. But they're still looking at it in the fact of Dogecoin versus other currencies, and whether those be dollars or bitcoins or litecoins or anything else, whatever, man. One Dogecoin is worth one Dogecoin. That's the beginning and the end of it. Now, getting more people, getting more wide acceptance of the coin is what should be the goal, not increasing the price of the coin versus other currencies. But that's all right. This article is entitled, Five Reasons Why Dogecoin Price Should Rebound Soon Against Other Currencies. Dogecoin is one of the most popular cryptocurrencies according to many metrics. Traders judge cryptocurrencies on many criterion, all of which sites like CoinGecko specialize in tracking. According to CoinGecko, Dogecoin is second only to Bitcoin. It boasts an active community which has banded together to achieve a number of incredible goals, such as sponsoring NASCAR's driver, Josh Wise, in the Dogecoin car. Despite these successes, the Dogecoin price has fallen against versus Bitcoin or dollar tremendously over the past several months, which does not make logical sense to many now enlightened shibes, my fellow shibes. Dogecoin price is low, comparatively, and that's crazy. Anyway, I'll just jump to his five reasons here that he believes the price of Dogecoin in comparison to other currencies, cryptocurrencies, or fiat currencies out there will increase soon. Community. The Dogecoin community is an awesome community. It's a wonderful community. There's a ton of people out there, and they love this coin, and they spread this coin about. So for the community to survive long-term, it must have a strong, or a coin to survive long-term, it must have a strong community. Otherwise, the coin will become a pump and dump. Of all the other major cryptocurrencies, Dogecoin has the friendliest and most welcoming community. This helps the Dogecoin community gain new members and retain them effectively. And you can check out the Reddit thread, r/r/Dogecoin, on that. Marketing. Though Bitcoin has taken a major marketing step with BitPay's sponsorship of the Bitcoin St. Petersburg college football game, Dogecoin has clearly taken the lead when it comes to marketing. In addition to sponsoring NASCAR, Dogecoin's sponsored the Jamaican Olympic dog sled team, bobsled team, and it's considered sponsoring an Australian V8 supercar series. Moreover, the forthcoming documentary called Coined, the Story of Cryptocurrency, plans to prominently feature interviews with Dogecoin personalities like Billy Marcus and Josh Wise. Coined will achieve a theatrical release, spreading the word about Dogecoin and other cryptocurrencies to people that never heard of it. Tipping. This is a key factor. There's tip bots, Dogecoin tip bots on Reddit, on Twitter, on probably on Facebook. I don't know about Facebook. I don't go over there, but other places. There's Dogecoin faucets, which are where they give you, just hand out free coins to you. Bitcoin might rule supreme over the altcoins in price and total market cap, but when it comes to tipping, Dogecoin is the absolute king. Dogecoin's market saturation, there are currently 83 billion Dogecoin in circulation. As he wrote this, anyway, just check out, you'll have to look at the numbers there. Shopping. A coin is only currency if you have a reasonable opportunity to buy, to use it as a medium of exchange. Bitcoin is the only currently widely accepted by business. However, more businesses accept Dogecoin than almost any other Bitcoin, or altcoin, excuse me. And the trading volume, is massive. So, hooray. Now let's see what we got some here. There are still commodities as long as people change them. into fiat or metal and use those to value coins, says Beth. She tried to get a wallet when it was $5-$10, didn't understand it all, blah, blah, blah. Alright, cool. Anyway, just something for you to, kind of wrap your little minds around there, or your big minds around there. And by the way, if you, are trying to donate via cryptocurrencies on reallibertymedia.com, the only crypto coin we accept, the only cryptocurrency accepted on reallibertymedia.com is Dogecoin. And there's a link on the sidebar where you can do exactly that. So please do! Now apparently, there's a company out there, Ultra Pro International, scumbags that they are. You know how there's various internet memes pop up and are become popular and people use them and spread them and have a fun time with them? Well, that's where the Dogecoin came from, is a popular internet meme on the Doge. And now this company, Ultra Pro International, is attempting to trademark a meme. Trademark an internet meme. these bastards. Anyway, so I'll just give you the link to the article. You can check it out. But well, what a nasty group of scumbags, trolls, copyright trolls that are out there. And they're only doing it for one reason, obviously, is to go after people that are using that meme and have been using that meme for a long, long time. And they can kiss my fat ass! Google. Now, it says here Google, but it talks about... talk about your clueless bastards. You would think Google might understand, but they don't get it. They don't understand. Obviously, they don't. I thought they might because they have, for several years now, had this Summer of Code where a bunch of geeks get together or they do it at their homes and they dump their code. They allow their code to be put up there, out there for free. And they put together really useful stuff and they, you know, there's like rewards and awards and things like that for this, people that do good code. And good coders are hard to come by. So Google has invested now $50 million in Made with Code program to get girls, they call it here, excited about CS. And as I was reading through this article, it just became so apparent to me that Google could not be more freaking clueless about, well, let me just share a little bit with you. You'll get it. This week, Google launched a new initiative called Made with Code, aimed at getting young women excited about learning to code and close the gender gap in the tech industry. Gender gap. Tough. Anyway, in the tech industry. The idea behind it is to show young girls that the things they love, from apps on their smartphones to their favorite movies, are made with code. Hooray! Good, they should know that. They should understand that. It's a good thing. And they can apply the skills they learn to their own individual passions. Google is investing $50 million into the program over the next 3 years, and Made with Code has a host of partners to help foster the community. And this is where it gets disturbing. Including Chelsea Clinton, Mindy Kaling, some TV person, MIT Media Lab, okay, I'm all right with that, Girl Scouts of the USA, Girls Inc., never heard of that one, Girls Who Code, the National Center for Women, and Information Technology, also TechCrunch as a media partner. So these are the people they chose to partner with. And starting with Chelsea Clinton? You gotta be freaking kidding me. Girl Scouts? To get women excited about coding? I don't think so. Anyway, the Made with Code website will offer resources and projects for kids to learn how to code, communities to discuss different lessons and projects, and with each other and mentors, as well as information about regional events. This is all an effort to get women in the driver's seat when it comes to the technology of the future. Now, I have known many women, coders, women that love to code. And let me just tell you this, on that. They're a different brand of women, a different breed of women. And same thing goes with men. Most men are not, don't think in the way required to be able to be a decent coder. Hey, Christine, howdy, good morning, and Chaz W. So it's not a matter of a gender gap or certain, whatever, ethnic groups, age groups. It's a matter of having the mind, the logical thinking, understanding, having a coexistence with machines, that you understand that the logic, and not just understand it, but love it. But love it. You really have to love living in the logical world, and whether that be mathematics or any other logic based outlet that you have for your brain, doesn't really matter. But it's not going to come down to having idiots like some TV star and Chelsea freaking Clinton and the Girl Scouts out there trying to drive people into something. I mean, it's kind of like, if they decided that I should be a greeter at a hotel or something like that, I would absolutely suck at it, and I would hate it. I couldn't do it. I can't deal with people. And no matter how hard they tried to drive me in to being the kind of person that stands there smiling all day and shaking people's hands or helping them, it's never going to work for me. So did I give you guys this link? God. So I really wished that these folks over there at Google weren't as clueless as they obviously apparently are on this situation, because you could find more people interested in this stuff, but that's not in the way you're going about it. Yeah, machines, you know, machines are awesome. Oh, boy. Hey, Blackbird, what's going on, man? Good to see you. I came across this post this morning, and this is the best post of the day. That's Dave Hodges, and it's posted up over here on rinf.com. Rinf, R-I-N-F. And the headline asks the question, did Israel just start World War III? Probably, if you want to look at it as just starting. I think it's been started for a long time. I think we've been in World War III for quite a while, but the question is still valid here, and looking at it and the way the world looks at it because of some of the commentary in the article. So let me just share a little bit with you here from Dave Hodges over here on RINF. He was speaking with Doug Hagman, and both of them have been very consistent in stating that World War III would begin in Syria. Further, his military sources have been telling him for the last 15 months that war in the Middle East and possibly World War III will commence in Syria for various reasons. The world is beginning to witness the unfolding of this prediction. Historians may, and here's kind of the driving factor back to the thinking of, well, maybe we're not World War III yet because we haven't had this moment yet. We haven't seen this happen yet. Historians may look upon Israel's recent attack upon the 9 military targets inside of Syria as the Archduke moment for World War III, which is, if you look back through your history books or talk to various historians, they'll tell you World War I was started with the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand, some really non-important kind of guy, and he was not the cause of the starting of World War I. But they'll tell you, all of these history books, that World War I was caused by the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand. So in that way, that when you find your history in the future and look back, it may come down to what Israel did over the weekend. So in that, I could say, okay, maybe in that way, World War III not officially declared and started yet. Anyway, a total of 9 Syrian military targets have been hit by Israeli jets and guided missiles, according to IDF officials. The IDF claims that they were part of a clear message being delivered to the Syrians in response to a series of cross-border shootings to protect the citizens of Israel. As many as 10 Syrian soldiers may have been killed, but that is not the real story. The attacks on the surface appear to be a retaliation to the threats posed by Syria against Israeli citizens, most notably the killing of Israeli teen Mohammed Karaka. On the surface, it appears to be measured and completely justified. However, when one examines the nature of the attacks, a very ominous picture begins to emerge. The bulk of the attacks were directed against targets on the Golan Heights. This is highly significant because any conventional military force incursion into Syria would have to be precipitated by eliminating the threat to Israel posed by forces on the Golan Heights. As tragic as the killing of the teen Mohammed Karaka is, his death is being exploited by Israel because the boy was an Arab who was also an Israeli citizen. To some degree, this gives Israel, apparently on the surface, a moral high ground because Israel's military actions are not just based upon retaliation for the killing of the Israeli teen. He is also an Arab. What a perfect poster child, pun intended, to justify Israel's actions against Syria. Israel is exploiting the situation for military gain, and Mr. Hodges is speaking directly about some of the military targets which were attacked by Israel that have nothing to do with retaliating against Syria for the death of the boy. Many of the targets included anti-aircraft military installations and what would be the one target that Israel would have to take out prior to having its tanks cross the board and attack Damascus. Any prelude to invasion, whether it be by United States, NATO, Israel, ISIS, would consist of taking out the anti-aircraft capabilities of the Syrian military bases. In order to launch a successful invasion, either by proxy forces or through direct intervention, Israel would need to have an immediate and complete control of the skies. The retaliation for the death of the Israeli teen allowed Israel the pretext and ability to test the capabilities of the anti-aircraft facilities by striking them under the guise of retaliating for the killing of a teen. Why Syria? What's so important about Syria? It's no secret that Russia cannot match the American NATO air power. Therefore, the Russians have built the best anti-aircraft facilities in the world, and the Russian capabilities in this area are second to none. Since Russia is considered to be the architect of the Syrian military, it would make sense that Syria could be expected to have some of the same capabilities that Russia enjoys with regard to this type of defense. Therefore, it makes even more sense that Israel needs to test the Syrian defenses prior to attacking, Hence, you have the real reason for yesterday's attacks. Israel wants to escalate the situation. They want the world to believe that it can expect Syria to have a provoking counter-response. However, Assad is not stupid. He's not ignorant, and he's not going to play into Israel's hands and retaliate. Therefore, a reason must be invented, and yes, Mr. Hodges is speaking about a major false flag event, which will be promoted and carried out by the CIA and possibly, probably, highly likely, Mossad. And we get to ISIS. ISIS will no doubt cross into Syria, or cross back into Syria, should be probably more correct there. And its actions will lead to widespread destabilization of the Syrian government. The world will soon see a horrific carnage, as ISIS actions in Iraq are merely a preliminary event. Sad thing for ISIS, and because they've been trying. They were not, before they were ISIS, they were trying. They were there in Syria, trying to take down Syrian government. And they failed, and failed miserably for 3.5 years. But they're going to go back after building up more people and more arms and more of your United States weapons. So we'll, when they get back over there, we'll see, but Syria must be taken and fortified by the West. Holding Syria is the key to warding off a Russian invasion should the IDF and NATO invade Iran to stop the practice, the key factor here, to stop the practice of selling their oil for gold to the BRICS. And that's the moneymaker right there. NATO, the West, Zio West, has to grab Syria to attack Iran, to stop Iran from selling their oil to the world for gold. That can't be allowed. They don't like that. They don't want that. It's not allowed, according to them. If Syria is occupied, the United States will be able to employ air power and utilize its small and medium missile batteries. These weapons would be able to repel a Russian counterattack in Syria, with Russia being stopped at the gate. The door is wide open to invade Iran. Yet another false flag will have to be unleashed to give the United States the justification to invade Iran. In retaliation, Ukraine may be overrun by Russia. However, this is an acceptable loss to the Zio West. It's kind of the reason they went in there and did what they did in the first place. They don't give a shit, really, about Ukraine. This is not a threat to the American hegemony and the Western central banking dominance, which is far more threatened by Iran's rogue move of forsaking the dollar. The petrodollar is on its last dying breath, and the United States has to do something. They have to do it now, or else they're finished, they're done, and they know it. While appearing as a guest on Hodges' show on June 15th, Doug Hagman predicted that ISIS will not only consume Iraq, but will blow by the border and straight back on into Syria as well. Israeli air support would be needed to use the CIA-funded proxy troops to stir up civil unrest. Otherwise, ISIS is going to be crushed again by the Syrian military. This action against Syria will require either Americans or the IDF to take out the Syrian command and control structures, such as its air defense, and leaving Damascus basically undefended. The CIA has attempted for 3.5 years to destabilize Assad by starting and supporting the bloody civil war. However, these actions failed and failed miserably over and over again. Therefore, intervention in Syria is, they gotta find a new way to get in there and do what they gotta do. Anyway, Dave's conclusion here. Israel's controversial military actions were not motivated by the death of that poor teenager. The teen is a great and most convenient excuse now that the IDF has its answers to the Syrians' military air defenses. The path is paved for an invasion of Syria, and the fall of Assad has begun. Which, again, I say, good luck on that. You've been trying, and you've been failing. Whatever. With the regime change in sight, an occupied Syria will result as a new puppet Syrian regime will do exactly what they are told to do. The only remaining question, the big, big question, who will use nuclear weapons first? And Dave will discuss that in the future. Oh, God. We are so screwed. Anyway, great article there, Dave. I always like his writing. I don't agree with him on everything, but I can't really argue too much on that. Can't really argue too much on that. All right. I talked about Argentina last week and how Argentina's been being pushed around and bullied by the United States government to accept Monsanto seed. The United States says, we'll give you a bailout. We're going to help you out. We want to give you some money. But all the money you're taking, you're going to take the most of it, and you're going to allow Monsanto seed. You're going to buy Monsanto seed with the money we're giving you. We're not giving you. We're loaning to you. We're not loaning to you. We're loaning it to you so that you can buy products from our multinational conglomerate scumbag poison company, Monsanto. And you will poison all the people in your country, and you will have the GMO seed, which means you'll never again be able to use your natural seed. Because the poison GMO seed will infect all of your other seed, and you will be stuck for life paying Monsanto to use their seed. So buy our seed if you want our money, or else you're going to go bankrupt. And the president down there saying, screw you guys. I'm not going to be pressured by you. I'm not going to take it. We're not buying your seed. I don't want your seed. I don't want your threats. And if we have to go bankrupt rather than taking your damn poisonous ass seed and be enslaved to you forever, forget it. They're not the only ones. Argentina is not the only ones. The United States government, a revolving door for Big Agra's biotech, is indeed bullying El Salvador into using genetically modified seeds, just as current headlines suggest. I would like to tell the United States ambassador to stop pressuring the government of El Salvador to buy improved GM seeds, said President of El Salvador Center for Appropriate Technologies, Navarro, which is only of benefit to United States multinationals and is to the detriment of the local seed production, reported Sustainable Pulse. Through the Millennium Change Corporation, or Challenge Corporation, a self-described independent United States foreign aid agency that is helping to lead the fight against global poverty created by your Congress in 2004, $277 million in aid is being dangled over El Salvador's head, as the World War IV report puts it. The Salvador Agricultural Ministry continues its current practice of buying seed from small-scale Salvadoran producers for its family agriculture plan. The threat was apparently made with clear intentions to advance the interests of the transnational agricultural companies, Monsanto. While distributing seed packets under the program from small Salvadoran producers instead of multinational corporations like Monsanto, have actually spurred the growth of basic food crops by a third and employed over 200,000 hectares of cultivation, thus achieving the goals for MCC's entire existence are supposedly based on. Nearly $300 million in aid might be withheld simply because El Salvador is saying, screw you, I'm not taking your Monsanto seed. I don't care how many dollars you dangle over our head. But they try, they try, they try. And so what happens, you know, is once they can't get in there in an, not an honest manner, but a coercive manner, they resort to force. And they've gone to force in El Salvador before, of course, and in Argentina. So don't expect this time to be any different. As these guys, as various little countries out there say, screw it, I'm not taking your poison. I don't want your seed. I don't want to be paying Monsanto for the rest of forever in order to be able to grow my food, and I'll have all that food be made from poison. I ain't doing it. We ain't doing it. We're not letting you into our country. So, of course, they will suddenly become, well, that's a rogue country that needs to be bombed out of existence. I have another interesting article over here on Rent, and I'm just going to give you the link to it so you can check it out for yourself, because y'all know what the clap, the corporate lame ass propaganda machine is and does. And this is talking about the fact here that over in eastern Ukraine, in southeastern, what used to be southeastern Ukraine, which are now independent entities, you can call them nations, you can call them whatever you want, regions, whereas the Ukrainian military, which is not really Ukrainian military, most of those are imported from other places, and most of them are paid for murderers that have been brought into Ukraine by your Zio Western dollars. You're not seeing any of that. You're not hearing about it. You're not seeing it. It's all hidden from your view by the corporate lame-ass propaganda machine, by the clap. And they don't want you to see it. They hate for you to see it. But it's going on. The Ukrainian military, those at least under Ukrainian military command, are just genociding the folks over there on the southeast of Ukraine. Those that say we're no longer part of Ukraine. So it's disturbing, it's disgusting, and that's what's going on. And your tax dollars are paying for part of that. Thank you very much. Feel good about that? Most of y'all probably heard last week about this crazy man down there in Florida. Florida, as Grammy would say. This lunatic, this crazy Bible thumping doomsday prepper. And the FBI made a big deal about it. And the FBI went out to the local clap down there in Florida, and indeed, the national clap, and said, look at this guy. He's a lunatic. He's an extremist right-wing Bible-thumping, gun-toting, crazy man, and he needs to be taken out. And we need to do bad things to him and everybody he knows, anybody that thinks like him. So the Fed captured him. He said, hey, don't kill me. I'll come with you. I got nothing to hide. And the cops the FBI were like, we're going to go to your house and we're going to look through everything you got. We're going to make sure. So they went to his house. where they said he was stockpiling over 50 high-powered rifles, which are perfectly legal to have anyway. And stockpiling, owning something is not stockpiling, I guess. I mean, not really. Well, whatever. They thought he had 50 high-powered rifles, deadly booby traps, and food. Oh, deadly food? No, good food. In preparation for an end times event. So the FBI spread out this propaganda. They painted this guy as the craziest bastard in the world. And they had to go out there and do all kinds of nasty things to him. So they go into his house, And they find, yeah, he's got some food there. Oh, enough food to last for a little while. We had more than 7 days worth of food. So apparently a terrorist. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But not really what they thought. Actually, none of what they thought was there was there. They found five rifles in his gun safe. They found some food that he had. Yeah, he had food. He had some preps. Yeah, damn us preppers. Anyway, his name, Martin Winters, has a political ideology and interests that may differ from the brain-dead sheep. And that makes him dangerous to the government. The government tried to try him in the public court before any evidence had been presented or found. So when they tried to find it and weren't, oh, damn it. And his neighbors were terrified of the crazy guy because of what the FBI had told him. Yes, preppers, you're a dangerous bunch because you know why? When the shit does hit the fan, you're not going to be dependent on the government. And that is dangerous to them. You're not dependent on us. You don't need us to feed you or clothe you or keep your house cool or warm or whatever. What the hell is wrong with you? You need to be absolutely dependent upon government or else you're a terrorist. Yes, ODD, Oppositional Defiant Disorder. Oh, that one's definitely out of place. Oh, come on, I had another article here on this. What did I do with it? Oh, boy. Well, I have another article about this, about another prepper they went after. I don't know what the hell I did with it, though. Oh, here it is. Here's the one I want to talk about. Not a prepper. But somebody letting you know you don't need government or government services to do what you want to do. And who is this terrible, evil guy? In Leawood, Kansas, 90-year-old Spencer Collins attempted to share free books. And the city said, hell no! And he's got a little cart out on his lawn. It shows a picture of it here. A little cart out on his lawn where he's got a little thing. It says, take a book, leave a book. Just a thing out there where people can come up, bring a book that they have and grab one that they haven't read yet and share books. Wow. What a concept. But the city said, nope, you're not allowed to do that. We're going to shut your ass down. We're going to make you a terrorist. Well, they didn't really make him a terrorist. They just said, either you pay us money for fines, because we're going to fine you every single day if you decide to keep sharing stuff, or you get that. That's an illegal structure. It's not a structure at all. It's a cart. He put it out on his lawn. It's a structure to them. So yes, you're not dependent upon the government. Oh, you're not going to use the governmental libraries. How are we going to overcharge for libraries if... Shit, I'm almost out of time. Oh, I didn't realize how close I was to the end of time. And I need to give you this one article. Very important article here. It's a very important article. Oh, boy. And important to me. It should be important to y'all. Important to me. From the UK, the scandal of fiddled global warming data. Fiddled. Lies. It's a good read, interesting read. So here it is for you, and you should understand that when you see articles like that, and then you see the next one that says But wait, folks. May was the warmest May on record since forever. Ever. Except it wasn't, because this is all a lie. Because they modified the numbers to make, and they keep modifying the numbers to make it seem like all the newest months are the most warmest months on record. It's all lies. It's all lies. Anyway, thank you all for tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow with another RLM News Show. Coming up right now on Channel 15 is Michael Rivera, What Really Happened. That is IB Donsey's star-c.com/theredpill. Check it out. I'll talk to you all later. Have a great day. Peace!